Sometimes when I'm thinking about content for the podcast, I get a bout of anxiety. As the podcast evolved from me just reading the news from the supplier report into its own unique content, some weeks can be a real struggle to put together a show that meets my own standards. But then there are weeks like this. I knew it was going to be a content-heavy week when my wife makes the comment, and I'm going to do my impression of her.
Joe, this Wi-Fi situation's a real problem, isn't it? I'm reading about it everywhere.
And if you're saying to yourself, Joey's wife doesn't sound like that, go back to SourceCast episode 86 from September 11th, and you can make that decision for yourself because she was on the podcast. So as my wife has pointed out, the fact that there is a widespread Wi-Fi security issue, it's grabbing a lot of headlines, it's got a lot of people curious, and I'm going to talk about it this week. And I thought that was going to be my main topic, but then there's SourceCast episode 87, which covers Philadelphia's chances of actually bringing Amazon into the city as its second headquarters, and also Philadelphia's standing when it comes to startups and bringing in new companies. And when I say Philadelphia, I mean the city proper, actually within the city, not the suburbs or New Jersey. Over the last couple of weeks, Philadelphia is emerging as a real candidate for Amazon. We're going to delve back into the topic and talk about what's been happening since episode 87. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is SourceCast episode 92. For those of you who may have not heard, there was a significant flaw discovered in Wi-Fi security protocols. And you may be thinking, oh, it's my router. This goes beyond your router. Every device, your phone, your laptop, your fancy new smart lighting system, they all connect to the internet via Wi-Fi protocol. And that protocol is called WPA2, which stands for Wi-Fi Protected Access. If you're a little bit older and you remember when Wi-Fi first came out, most people used WEP, and WEP stood for Wired Equivalent Privacy. WEP went the way of the dinosaur. WPA2 became the primary means that all wireless devices connect to the internet. And that protocol, it was discovered, can be hacked. The method that hackers or whomever is using to exploit this flaw is called Key Reinstallation Attack, or they've shortened it to CRACK with a K. K-R-A-C-K. So what does this mean for you as an end user? If a hacker really wanted to mess with you, they can enact a man-in-the-middle eavesdropping style attack, according to Gizmodo. So that means they could view your transactions online, get your credit card numbers, read your unencrypted communications to your friends via instant messenger, and they could also inject your home networks with ransomware and other malicious code. Not a good situation. There's a critical point that should be highlighted. It's true that nearly every device that uses Wi-Fi is vulnerable, but the hacker likely needs to be within proximity to your house and to your Wi-Fi network in order to do malicious things. What I'm saying is they can't get you just from being connected to the internet. They have to be really close to your house. But I'm not minimizing the threat. You should absolutely take this seriously, especially if you travel a lot and your devices are connecting to strange Wi-Fi access points like hotels and airports. And that's a good segue into an article from TechCrunch, which tells you a couple of steps that you can take to protect yourself. The TechCrunch article by Natasha Lomas and Romain Dillit gives you a couple of ideas on how to protect yourself. Number one, update all of the wireless things that you own. Your smart thermostat, your computer, your smartphones, your routers, everything. Point number two, make sure that your router's firmware is updated. I said it in the first point, this is probably going to take a little while for the router companies to come up with a patch, so be on the lookout for that, and if you have an internet service provider like Comcast who provides you the equipment, ask them regularly if the equipment's been patched, especially considering that they use the router that is in your home as a secondary access point for their own Wi-Fi system. In the short term, you can also use Ethernet, which is the wired means of connecting your computer to your router. Like, oh my God, Becky, that is so 2005. If you want to protect your cell phones, point number four, don't use Wi-Fi. Just use your cellular data. The next point takes back the panic a little bit. I said that you should make sure that your smart bulbs and your Internet of Things within your house is patched. But on the flip side, what is a hacker going to do with information about your light bulbs? Point number six, make sure you install the HTTPS Everywhere extension in your browser. This makes sure that your internet session in your browser is using the highest bits of encryption that is available. Point number 7. If you're like me and you have a VPN service, you might think that you're protected. Apparently, you're not in this particular problem. So if you work from home and your company has a private VPN that connects to their infrastructure and you think you're safe, you may not be. To that point, especially if you're talking about work, go back to my point number 3, use an Ethernet connection. It's not fun when you think that your information is under siege or it's not protected or you're vulnerable, especially when there isn't an immediate response. This threat does not have a perfect immediate fix that makes me feel even more vulnerable, but it is helpful to know that someone has to be extremely close to your house in order for this to be a real problem. So watch out for patches and also keep checking out your window to make sure there isn't some creepster sitting in a van in your driveway with some funky aluminum foil and coat hanger contraption pointed at your house. And if you see somebody doing that, I can't tell you what to do, but I won't rat on you if their face happens to accidentally make contact with the heavy end of a bat, South Philly style. That was aggressive. Don't take my advice. Stay inside your house. Call the cops. On to our main story. Philadelphia and Amazon, part 2. I will absolutely admit that I am excited about the prospect of a major corporation settling into Philadelphia proper. But the reason why I'm bringing the topic up again is while episode 87 was more of a wishful thinking episode, in the subsequent weeks, it actually seems like Philadelphia has a decent shot at winning this. And those hopes have been bolstered by analytics firm Moody's. In a recent article on economy.com, Moody's is quoted as saying, Philadelphia, in their opinion, is in third place to win the Amazon RFP. However, if they factor in the location wildcard, Philadelphia actually jumps to first place, and Pittsburgh jumps to number 2. Philadelphia's high placement on Moody's list comes down to 5 categories: business environment, human capital, cost, quality of life, and transportation. And then when you factor in the wildcard of geography, Moody's main point to bumping them up to number 1 in that geographical area is because Philadelphia is a metro area that's really far away from the Seattle headquarters. The economy.com article says that Moody's scored the Northeast highly because of access to the economically important Northeast Corridor and the political power center of Washington, D.C. And since the Northeast Corridor and Washington, D.C. seems to be such an important talking point, I kind of feel bad saying this, but Philadelphia released a video extolling the virtues of the city, and it makes great pains in almost every single opportunity to reference the fact that Philadelphia is close to Washington, D.C. and New York. Here's a clip.
The other thing that's really fantastic is we're close to New York and close to Washington. I spent a lot of time in D.C. on policy issues, so it's just jump on the train and you're down there in less than 2 hours, and it's only an hour and a quarter to New York. And this central location is fantastic from that regard, but I don't have to live in New York or live in Washington, neither of which do I find anywhere near as attractive as this area.
From the suburbs, you can take a train to New York, and yeah, it was like a couple hours, you catch up on email, and then you work all day, you come home, you have nothing to do at night.
And I've been able to go to DC, I can go to New York, but why I chose Philadelphia is because of that unique proximity to all of those value-added parts to a community.
Philadelphia Mayor Kenney recently said at a live speech that we're going to win this. Philadelphia is really mobilizing and really trying to win this. But that brings up another point. Another reason why I wanted to cover this topic again is because I didn't do a great job in episode 87 talking about the negative impacts of trying to win this business and what that can mean for the city. I hinted at some of my concerns around subsidies, but as these RFPs are being made public, it's very clear that there are a lot of cities that are desperate to win this. The state that I currently live in, New Jersey, is offering a $7 billion tax incentive for 10 years, and the potential host site is the city of Newark. Analysts are saying that Amazon expects at least $5 billion in capital investments. As a counterpoint, Ontario, Canada, who's also apparently bidding, is not playing the subsidies game. The funny thing about New Jersey is that Amazon already has multiple warehouses in the state, and they've already enjoyed more than $1 billion in tax-funded subsidies and incentives over the last few years. This most recent news about Philadelphia attempting to woo Amazon is timely, because also in the news this week are articles documenting Wisconsin's issues trying to finalize the Foxconn deal. I covered this particular topic about a month ago on the podcast. It was related to Donald Trump putting pressure on Apple and Foxconn to have more domestic manufacturing. The culmination of that pressure resulted in Foxconn agreeing to build an LCD manufacturing plant in Wisconsin. A big part of this deal was Wisconsin agreeing to give Foxconn $3 billion in economic incentives. According to a Wall Street Journal article, last Wednesday, a Democratic state representative who opposed the deal told local Wisconsin news organizations the delay was over a nuclear bomb in the contract that wouldn't sufficiently protect taxpayers in the case that Foxconn didn't fulfill its promises, sparking concerns that the deal could be in trouble. While I absolutely hate to make things political, that is certainly another element to these RFPs and to these efforts to get large businesses landed in a particular state and city. I find it very concerning that states and cities, who may have limited resources and have underfunded schools, are putting together incentive packages worth billions upon billions of dollars to bring a large company like Amazon into the state. The trouble is, once one city or state does this, then all of them have to. So unless there is some law that prevents all of them from doing it, this is going to be status quo. There are some activists and journalists in Philadelphia right now that are saying Amazon coming to the city could be a very bad thing. Two main concerns are the increase in traffic and the increase in rent prices. What people are saying is the things that make Philadelphia attractive right now will disappear should Amazon come to the city. I think those are valid concerns, but I also think that they can be mitigated with the right regulations and thought. Ultimately, even with these caveats and these concerns, I still think that Amazon coming into Philadelphia would be a boon for the city and for the other corporations working there. It'll help attract talent and retain talent in the city, and it will better establish Philadelphia as a tech presence, not just a medical and educational hub. I also think that the infrastructure improvements that Amazon will force upon the city will help everyone. I'm going to continue to cover this topic as it evolves over the next few weeks. And once again, Philadelphia, I'm rooting for you. Make this work.
And that's all we have for this week. You can follow Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.